I just asked Jonathan about my story. One of my friends who is a nun now, she asked me, is it necessary for her to study English in order to understand the English discussion of Ajahn online? So I said that she just need to listen the discussion, Dhamma discussions was translated to Vietnamese and read some books was translated to Vietnamese. I reply her that I think it doesn't need to do that because now she get old, she's nearly 50. If she studied English, it takes so much time. Instead of that, she can consider about reality what she has learned. I don't know whether my answer is right or wrong.
I think if she has the idea that she cannot study Dhamma until she learns English, then that is a hindrance to the study of the Dhamma now. But if she wants to learn English and study Dhamma, then why not?
Of course, it's an advantage, like you're here now, because your English is good enough to follow the discussions. But if you're not here, then it doesn't mean that you can't study Dhamma.
And there are some here who are not following in English, but following in translation over there.
We could also say that we should study Pali to understand Dhamma, because originally the language that was used to transmit the Dhamma was Pali. But actually, it's whatever the language, I think it's to convey the truth, the reality. So it's more a matter of understanding than knowing the language. But of course, if someone has the inclination to learn English, and I think that through many discussions, many of our friends have improved their English, and sometimes when they listen directly, they can understand, so that's good. But like Jonathan said, thinking that without learning English, we cannot study Dhamma properly, I think that it would be a hindrance.
Some people are very expert in Pali and also speak English and speak Thai as well, but still no understanding of the Dhamma. So it's the understanding that's most important, no matter what language or however little the language there is. It's the understanding that's always the important thing. But some friends in Hanoi or Ho Chi Minh City last time said, oh, it's useful when they speak English because they hear everything twice, once in English and once in Vietnamese, so they hear it twice. But in the end, it's the understanding that's important. Hung said that at lunchtime she asked Ajahn a little bit more about chanda, like chanda in deep sleep, chanda with Bawanga, Jesus, and whether it was any different. And Ajahn said just the same, because the characteristic of chanda is just the same no matter when it arises. Would you like to say anything more about your chant?
Yes, for example, when we wish to do, we want to do something, so I mean the chanda is quite strong. I think it's quite stronger than chanda happen arise in even in the deep sleep or normal at this moment. It's not appears. Yes. So I asked Ajahn what's different between chanda.
In order for it to appear, it's like lobha. When it appears, it's strong lobha. The subtle lobha isn't obvious, doesn't appear. And same with chanda. In order for it to appear, it must be the really quite strong interest, like when one's really interested in studying one's something in a book, then it's clear the chanda at that moment. But the less chanda like now maybe doesn't appear.
So it's adipati condition, pachaya, at work during with at Babangachika.
And its vipaka, what function can it perform?
Just should be vipaka. Yeah. Just continuous, life continuum.
While one is asleep?
Yes.
Yeah. So vipaka cannot lie like chavana.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay.
This way.
Okay.
Or doing anything at all?
Only for kusala or kusala chitta. Neither the chittas with moha cannot.
Isa or Buddha knew and told us about it, so that there can be the understanding of no self little by little, without hearing about chanda and pavanga and so on. How can there be the understanding of different moments now, not the same time? So just listen and listen and understand that it has to be now, which is unknown for quite a long, long time. And when there is hearing, it's beginning to just knowing, but with closed eyes, because reality does not appear. When we talk about chanda, chanda does not appear. When we talk about lopa, lopa does not appear. We just learn to hear about it. Little by little.
And this morning we were talking about the characteristic of chanda as interest in, different from attachment or wanting. But I noticed that when you refer to chanda, you refer to it as wish to do or want. Any special reason?
It's a strong attachment to the object, so it's mentioned to the loba. And how about when we're interested in Dhamma, it's not... I think it's the moment of attachment, but it's a moment with right understanding and understand the beneficial of the right understanding. So it's a kusala moment.
So when it's kusala moment, like when it's interest in understanding Dhamma, like now...
Yes.
Is there any wish to do or wanting to understand?
No, it's different from the wish to do.
So what is wish to do?
It's like you want something very much. Yes. Like to express our idea, like want to... Yes, a degree of the chanda as a different level.
I think that chanda, even when it arises with very strong attachment, it's not wishing or wanting, it's interest in the object that the attachment is attached to. So whether it's kusala or akusala, chanda is interest, not wishing or wanting, because wishing or wanting sounds like attachment to me. Mm. That's why I was interested in what you mean. Because whether it's kusala or akusala, it's still chanda, still the characteristic of chanda, either way. So we cannot say that when it's akusala chanda, it's wish to do, but when it's kusala chanda, it's not wish to do.
Can we understand chanda now? There are many people. We all have lopa, right? But the chanta brought someone to the market and the other here, see?
Interested in Dhamma or interested in go to Baikyo?
Talking about when there is lopa, we can see. that we do all have lobha, but different chanda. She has chanda to do that, see?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
We are talking chanda. About chanda.
Video.
Yeah. About the chanda walking in. So,
yeah. A woman, there are many where I see it here. But for me, I think only characteristic of the reality can recognize by Vanya. So my question is, or not my question, Achan, may you help me to know further about this. Why two characteristics can recognize at the same time? Because one citta and many chetasika and rupa appear at the same time. That means arise at the same time. That means there are many arises at the same time. But just one characteristic can understand by Panya. Why two or three?
Just one at a time. At moment of understanding chanda, it's not moment of understanding lobha. Different moments. One object at a time.
He thinks it should be possible for Panya to experience more than one characteristic at a time. Yes, but that's his idea. That, and he can't see why it's not possible for Panya to experience more than one characteristic at a time.
Can one citta experience two things or two objects?
We mentioned the other day that because of concentration, ekagata chetasika, focusing on one object at a time, that is the reason why citta only experiences one object at a time. So citta has to arise with many chetasikas, as you say. So they arise together and they all experience the same object and only one object at a time. At the moment that seeing arises with the seven chetasikas and experience visible object, sound cannot appear, chanda cannot appear, no other reality can appear because they only experience visible object, they don't experience anything else. So at every moment in life, only, even if there is no panya, at any moment in life, whether it's bhavanga citta, kusala citta, akusala citta, vipaka citta, the citta can only have one object. So only one, that one object, only one object can appear or be experienced or known by Panya.
That means there are many reality elements here now. But when the Panya enough strong to recognize, so they try one of in of them to understand, to experience by condition.
Whatever happens, it's by conditions. Yeah. And now, thinking about how it occurs right now, there is thinking, and it's real too. It can also be understood. So it always has to come back to this moment and what appears now. So thinking now is real, just the Dhamma, not my thinking. So there can be the beginning of understanding, thinking at this moment. Usually in the beginning we talk a lot about seeing and what is seen, the Buddha did too, because otherwise there's no clear understanding of the difference between nama and rupa. that reality which experiences and that reality which doesn't experience. So it's not enough just to talk about Chanda and Lobha and Dosa. There has to be an understanding of the difference between the experiencing, such as seeing, and what is experienced, like visible objects, to really understand that there are only dharmas, no one there.
Is it not enough for Panya to understand characteristic of one reality at a time? Are you thinking it would be quicker if Panya could experience more than one reality at a time?
I didn't think like this. I just want to know why not to just why.
Two, why not three? If three, why not four?
Or why not one?
Well, I see. They appear by condition. Not
when one says they are realities, it means they are realities. Never change.
Only one, then that is known better than if more than one, surely. If one wants to know about different realities, then it seems to me quite understandable that they should be known one by one. Because beginning understanding is very weak anyway, and if several realities were appearing at once, too weak panya, then nothing would be known.
Do you like that sound?
The machine. Oh, actually, I don't care.
Like or dislike?
I don't know, I just don't care about it.
Mm-hmm. At the moment, if you don't care, what is it? Like or dislike?
Actually, I don't know it until you ask.
So now, like or dislike?
Neither.
It has to be one, like or dislike. After hearing, after seeing the way it is, it can condition like and it can condition dislike depending on conditions. No matter it's that which is heard or seen or touched.
Sometimes it can be moha, citta, without liking or disliking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but usually.
Yes. But sometimes it's unknown, like it's very slight dislike and
when there is moha, it doesn't pay attention at all. But at moment of hearing, it's much sweet like or dislike.
I think that what he meant, what Chong meant, Choppy meant, was that in his case, for us there was paying attention to it, but for him, he hadn't thought about it at all. Is that right? You hadn't
noticed
the noise, and he hadn't noticed it, so he had no idea about any, no like or dislike, because he just hadn't given it any thought or attention.
Does it mean at that moment it's moha, or it is like lopa, or slight attachment, or dosa?
I think many times it's very slight and we don't notice and not aware of it, but like when it suddenly stops and you feel relieved, so that means before there must be some slight disliking.
Because when there is moha at that moment, no understanding and knowing that object at all, whether it is what or what, it is moha. But when there's the idea of something which is hurt, you know what is hurt?
Sound
of what? Just a moment ago when I asked about sound of what? Which we talked about.
Sound of the machine.
What was the noise? In the background. Sound of machine.
So it's not moha. At that moment. So, is there any lopa or dosa? Even if it's very slight? That's why when lopas arises with ignorance or indifferent feeling, it cannot appear. But my question would like to ask you whether there is chanda at that moment, because we are talking about chanda. Otherwise it's just get something but not all yet. Even intellectual understanding is not easy. Dhamma itself must be very, very difficult to really understand it as not self, because they are very close, like chanda and lopa. See? People might guess or think that it is lopa, but there must be another reality there too, which why this, not that. When we watch TV, what program are you interested? You like to watch TV, but which program? But no matter is attachment or aversion, chanda is there. This is the Buddha's understanding, his wisdom. But no one can think like that at all.
When there's aversion to the noise, there's interest in that object too, not another one, just that particular object that is thought about at that moment, that one pays attention to.
And when we're having discussion, even when there's not sound of machine, there's always the sound of the person's voice, which is different from the meaning of what is being said. So we are thinking about the meaning, we have an interest in the subject matter, and then there is also attachment or aversion or whatever to the voice, the actual sound of the voice, which can vary a lot from person to person.
Ajahn, you just mentioned about ignorance. Could you please say more about it?
When there's no attention, can you know what is there? Like how many things are on the table?
You mean attention in the conventional?
That which is not said, is mm-hmm. that thing that is not attended.
Mm-hmm.
So moha is there. Even it's there, it's seen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it doesn't.
So I guess there are two aspects of moha. One aspect that it covers up the truth, and the other one is
when whatever appears, there's no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mentioned about moha. It's only about the truth or the path, right? No other object?
It's the reality which cannot understand whatever appears as it is.
So only about the truth, not the other, not concept.
Ignorance object. About the weather or ignorance about what kind of machine he's using. It's only about reality now.
Only about truth. Reality. Okay.
Like in the example that Ajahn gave, that like on the sound impinges on the eyes, the ear sense, and then some processes follow, but then there's no recognition that it's the sound is being heard, so that it indicates moha is there as well.
That's why someone cannot find what in the paper on the table in front.
It's not kusala when it's not dana or understanding or metta, and when there's no attachment and no aversion, then ignorance must be there.
Let's say when I don't understand what you're talking, so is it moha there?
understanding must be moha.
The citta classification, you have two types of moha citta, right? So one is visikicca, and I forget what is the other one. But restless, right? Okay. So I remember I asked a question about closing the eye and I still see the light, the nimitta. And then that's not a true calm. That could be, that most likely is the moha with visikicca. So anyway, the question is, when we still not paying attention, the moha, do we know it's restless or?
Stay manasikara, attention with moha.
Yes.
See?
But, right.
What kind of cittas does udaccha, restlessness, arise with?
What kind of citta?
Moha. What cittas?
Moha, right?
Which kinds of moha?
Which kind of moha?
All kinds of akusala, so all kinds of moha arrives with udaccha. But right. The one that is classified as with udaccha just means it not with vichikicca, no doubt at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So like now there's doubt about what is real, doubt about what the meaning is, then it arises with moha, but when it's the other moha, then no doubt, just restlessness.
Just, yeah, okay.
No attachment, no aversion. And moha arises with all akusala too, so even at moments of lobha or moments of dosa, there is
udaccha, right?
Yes. Udaccha, right. There's moha.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. So following up the question about nimitta, when closing eyes still with the light, so is there anything that we kind of need to know? It's just nimitta. Is there anything, what else do we need to know about that?
Else? Because all are only nama and rupa.
And that's concept, right?
No matter what, the understanding can understand that as nama or rupa. No matter what is thinking about, whether it's this or that.
Right.
But the question is, if there is no understanding of reality as not self, as nama, not self, because it's rupa, there is no way to understand what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm. But if we, for myself, with that kind of light, with eye closed.
Is there anything?
Is that anything? That's
seeing?
Is there any seeing at that moment?
Yes, there is seeing at
so
the moment.
It's that which is seen.
And that which is seen at that moment is not visible object.
Why not? What is visible object?
What else could be seen except for visible object?
But
like now, or when the eyes are closed, or any time, what else could be seen other than visible object?
But that's called nimitta, right? In that moment.
Mind about the name or the word, but it's the understanding that at this moment, or when the eyes are closed, it's just visible object that's seen.
Okay.
And then there is the, because countless visible objects are seen, there is the sign of what is seen. It doesn't make any difference whether the eyes are open or closed. The only difference is when the eyes are closed and when there is no light, apparent, then no shapes or forms or colors can be seen. But it's still just visible object.
But that's exactly where I'm confused now. Because it's very easily happen when before sleeping, with all the light turned off, and then lying down on the bed, close the eye, and you still see the either green light, purple light, doesn't matter. There are shape, in terms of shape, it normally is round.
And why do you say that it's seeing and not just imagining? I don't quite understand the context you're speaking about, because for most people, when they close their eyes at night, there are no lights.
Right, it's dark. It's black, right.
Yeah.
Is it seeing at that moment?
Yes.
Whenever they see it, we don't mind what is that which is seen, but there must be our reality.
Right. But why do you say there's seeing at that moment? Because if light appears and the eyes are closed, then it seems to me it wouldn't be seeing. So I'm not quite sure why you are so positive that there is seeing at that moment.
Because, well, normally it's the black color is seen. And then sometimes there are some...
At night time when the eyes are closed, you're in bed.
Right.
So why do you say it's seeing?
At the beginning it's all dark, and then after a while the light...
Can darkness
appears.
Be seen?
I'm sorry?
Can darkness be seen?
Yes.
So it's seeing which sees darkness.
It seems when lying down that you said at first it's darkness and then green light or something appears. But can green light appear when eyes are closed, or is that just imagining? Because it's just dark, no light is appearing, so no shapes or forms or colors can be attended to. So if there's the impression that green lights or red lights or blue lights or any colors are appearing, then it's thinking about what has been seen, like in a dream or a half dream. Because actually it's just darkness, just that visible object at that moment. Because the lights are off, so no green lights or red lights at that moment. Just thinking about it.
No matter what the object is there any seeing? No matter it's just dark or light or whatever, whenever there is seeing, there must be that which is seen.
Yeah.
It can be light or dark or color.
Yes.
Just one color or many colors, it depends.
Right. Yeah, this part is the principle, yes. But now back to the color. It's supposed to be black, the darkness.
If we don't call color, whatever it's seen.
Right. But now John seems saying that could be imagined, right?
So it depends on whether it's thinking or seeing. When it's thinking, it's not seeing, it's imagination. But when it's seeing, it is not thinking. That's why Panya can understand the distinction between the moment of seeing and the moment of thinking.
Okay, so...
Actually, it's just like now, moments of seeing and thinking instantly. Impressions about shapes, forms, colors, people, and the same when one closes one's eyes, seeing and then thinking and imagining all sorts of colors and ideas and shapes and forms.
But the confusion part is now there are so many input impinge on your eye sense. But at that time when the eye closed and after a while the lights appear.
The eye sense while one closes one's eyes?
Yes.
So can there be seeing?
Yes.
Because there are space in between. So seeing is seeing. You cannot say that you don't see. But it's different from moment of thinking. After seeing, there must be thinking. So how can one know this moment, whether it is seeing or thinking? So it's just like that. No matter... It's dark or light or color. Whatever is seen, there must be seeing. But
yeah.
After that, there can be thinking, or there must be thinking followed.
Okay.
That which is seen.
Maybe I should try the question another way. Then where does the color come from without any light?
At that moment of seeing, there's no idea about that.
Right.
Because no thinking about how come. But it's there. Because it's seen. Right now, you don't have to think how come the color or visible object, but there is seeing. Whenever there is seeing, what is seen, we don't have to call it anything, but it's a reality, only reality that can be seen. Nothing can be seen except this one.
Right.
So no matter in darkness, close one's eyes or open one's eyes, what is there must be that is seeing, mm-hmm. which sees it.
So if it's color...
If there's no light, then it's just thinking about color. It's just what is seen and then imagining about colors, because if no light at all, just that which is seen at that moment.
So it's imagined.
When it's an idea of uh-huh. red or blue or green, it's imagined because it's just what is seen at that moment. But now there is light, so what is seen is not just because of the light. That's the reason why there can be the impression of shapes and forms and colors now. Before there's thinking about people and places and...
Right.
What is there before seeing?
What is there before seeing? Usually thinking.
Darkness.
Oh,
so dark.
Okay.
No seeing. And when there is a process of seeing, no people, no thing at all. And after that process, darkness again. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So at moment of quite dark, nothing is seen. There is no seeing. But whenever there is seeing, you don't have to think about whether
right.
it's white or dark or what, how come. But what is seen is seen. So the matter is whether there is seeing, which is not thinking.
Uh-huh.
Thinking experiences the same object, which is seen, right? Because mind the process continue or follow instantly,
right.
exactly the same.
Right.
So it depends on whether that is seeing or that is thinking about that which is seen.
Mm-hmm. If at that time you were seeing the lights, mm-hmm. you then opened your eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So doesn't that show that it's not visible object? If you open your eyes and it's gone, uh-huh. how could it be visible object?
So it's imagined, but it has to come from somewhere, right? Even imagination still depend on reality.
Come from where?
Memory.
I don't know what you are asking about, the seeing or the object.
The object, the colored.
Without the four primary rupas, there will never be that which can impinge on the eyes
right.
at all.
Right. But if it's monitor process imagined.
You are thinking of the doorway, but whenever there is seeing,
mm-hmm.
you don't talk about when the preceding one or now or the future, but whenever there is seeing, there must be the object which is seeing.
Yeah.
No matter black or dark, no. Come from no idea. Like now, no idea whether it comes from this for primary rupas or that for primary rupas. Just that which is seen is a reality. Only a reality, no one.
Mm-hmm.
The point is no one. But there must be that which can be seen.
Mm-hmm. Now you are thinking about what to say next. Do you wonder where that comes from?
I wonder that where it comes from.
We don't talk about where thinking comes from, do we? Where thoughts come from?
We don't do that because it happens all the time. And then the reason I wonder about that light, because it's not a very common thing. And then you talk about when I open the eye, it's gone. So it's imagined, right? So the light is supposed to be imagined because it's gone when I open the eye.
You agree with that? Or
yeah, I agree with that. When I open the eye, it's gone. So the light is imagined. But the question is, the imagined has to be...
But is it important?
Is it? Oh, no one is the most important, yes.
Close your eyes. It doesn't mean that there is no seeing.
Right.
But the object is different from moment of when you open your eyes.
Yep.
But seeing is seeing anywhere. As long as you are not fast asleep, and you open your eyes, or when you open your eyes in darkness, any color does not appear at all. Only that which is seen is dark. You call it dark, but if you don't call it, it's that which is seen.
Right. But when we open the eye, we have the idea about the visible object is from our external rupa.
That is thinking. But now, no thinking. That is seeing and that which is seen.
Right.
But close your eyes. It's the seeing.
Yeah.
That which is seen is seen. No matter no color or not. Or
right.
What.
Right. But furthermore, can the visible object either internally, externally or internally?
That is not moment of seeing.
Right.
Right. But because there are four primary rupas here and four primary rupas there, so there can be the understanding about it as it's inside or outside. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But color is color. That which is seen is seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now when the eyes are open, the visible object seen, which is different from when the eyes are closed, but at the moment of seeing, what is seen now, no idea about color at all, or light, or anything else, because it's just what is visible. And then when there's impression about color or shape and form, it's thinking about it immediately.
Right.
So actually, in that sense, it's exactly the same when eyes are closed or open. It's just visible object that's seen, and it's not important what kind of visible object. But we know at each moment of seeing, visible object is different. And we know when eyes are closed, it's different from when they're open. But actually, it's just visible object. No impression or idea about color or shape or light or anything.
Yeah, it's good now. All these are intellectually understandable, yeah. But open the eye, we kind of know where does this come from. Well, John comment, it's not important where does it come from. And then why should we know where this...
It does not walk in.
That's not what?
It doesn't walk in.
It doesn't walk.
We know that each reality arises by condition, so the visible object that appears now, it has to be that way, cannot be any other visible object that appears, because the conditions for that particular visible object to appear, that particular one that impinges on the eye sense, that is conditioned by the other rupas that arise together with it. So we know it comes from conditions, that's all.
But it's called nimitta, right? So it's not exactly realities.
Visible object is visible object.
Right.
But many, many visible objects are experienced. And when attending to, or when in the mind, or when that object is experienced, actually the visible object has fallen away. So it has to be the sign of visible object.
Right.
And because countless visible objects fall away, there has to be the impression or the sign of visible object. That's the nimitta. But still, it's only visible object that's ever seen.
When we're talking
about things that come to mind, not related to present sense or impressions, like thoughts now, we don't call that nimitta, we call it concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the visual concept, is just concept. If you're seeing lights that are just imagined, then it's not nimitta of a visible object. It's just memory.
Right.
It's concept, like the words that we form in our mind are concept. It's image, mental image.
Right, it's mental image.
Yeah. That's different from the kind of nimitta that Sarah was just talking about.
Right. And that's mental image. It's imagined, so it's actually, there's actually no scene at that moment, right?
Well, it depends, but from what you were saying, it appears there's no scene, it's just mental image.
It's just mental image and...
Like in a dream, there can be all kinds of appearance of green lights and red lights and
pink elephants and purple trees, anything can appear in a dream. But there's no seeing, it's just thinking and imagining. So when the eyes are closed and it seems that green and pink lights are appearing, it's actually just imagining or thinking.
Okay.
It's not the visible object that's seen at that moment.
Okay. By accumulated tendencies and memory. Mm-hmm. Memory. Okay. Right, mental image, I kind of makes sense to me.
Or who meditate a lot or have strong concentration experiences, imagine they see all kinds of lights and special experiences and take it for being real, but actually it's all fantasies or dreams, and because of paying attention it can be very disturbing because it's been conditioned by wrong view and wrong practice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even when they stop following those practices, still that habit of paying attention to these images or impressions is so strong, so it still seems that they can see lights and so on. But actually it's all imagining, conditioned by wrong practice. I'm not saying this is the case, but can be.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I was thinking about something else, a little related, but one time when you were talking about abhinya, the divine seeing, I remember you said that it's still based on the actual eye sense. So it's very, like very, very extremely developed eye sense, let's say. So when, let's say, the Buddha sees something happening at another place, actually there is actual seeing and followed by mental image. Is that how it happens, right?
Out the eyes, can there be such abhinya?
No.
Seeing and then jhana.
This moment of seeing, what should be understood?
It's conditioned by eye sense and visible object.
That is thinking. That will not lead to understand the reality which sees and that which is seen.
Mm-hmm. So seeing sees.
Beginning to develop from hearing and considering now, not self at all, citta and cittasikas are performing the function, wise attention. Mm-hmm. So it can begin to see that nothing can be done at all. Only whatever appears is not known for quite a long, long time, and only the Buddha's word can condition right understanding of that which appears at any time from hearing, that there is a reality which experiences no one at all. And that is conditioned by many conditions. Mm-hmm. The more one understands conditions, it can condition moment of direct understanding. What we have heard, like it experiences it or that which experiences, not I.
Mm-hmm.
And that which is seen is just that which is seen. No idea where it comes from, whether it's black or white or what, but it's seen, that's all. In order to see that it's not people or things at all. Because usually after seeing there must be the memory and idea of something permanent. I'm seeing, convinced, see? All the time, any moment of seeing. But how can there be a moment of understanding that it's only a moment of seeing? No one there. And this is the point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So if there is more understanding of seeing invisible object as it appears now,
it becomes more apparent what is the nature of something that is imagined but not associated with seeing a visible object.
Thinking of light as an object of samatha and the nimitta of light at all?
Before it was, but not anymore.
I think it may be from past experience or habits, one just is used to thinking or paying attention or considering in that way from following some practice that wasn't right, but still there is that kind of lurking habit or tendency, like someone who's used to focusing on their breath even when they know that it's useless and not the path, but still it's their habit.
There was no particular intention to try to experience anything. It just happened when the eye closed, and after a little bit while the light started to come up. I was just, it's more like I was bored, what's that? And I don't know what else to know.
From practice in previous lifetimes.
Anyway, it's not important, not anything to pay attention to or take interest in, because for sure it's akusala chanda that takes an interest with attachment, finding it important. So just gone and of no use at all.
So each word which represents reality should be considered and considered and considered until there is the understanding which is very firm. For example, what is seen, see, is God. And it is only that which is seen. It cannot be anything else. It cannot be person, nothing, or anything at all. Just a reality which can be seen. And at moment of seeing, too. Not at the moment.
I would like to confirm, Chester, if I heard it wrong, that when closing the eyes, there is no seeing or there still be seeing. When eyes close, there is no seeing, right?
You'd like the other to say whether it's there or is there not. But now just understand by yourself. Now close your eyes. Is there seeing?
When I heard it, I closed my eyes.
And is there seeing?
No, I didn't see anything. So I have to make it, to confirm it, whether I heard it wrong. Because I heard that when you close your eye, and what, there still will be
what
seeing.
What is there at moment when there's no hearing and thinking? Close your eyes. What's there when it's not hearing and thinking?
You mean there is no visible object, right? When I close my eyes,
you call it visible object, but do you have to call it visible object?
No, it is just conditional words.
So whenever there is seeing, there must be that which is seen, no matter what you call it, no matter it's black or white, no matter what color it is.
Any other
whenever there is seeing, be sure there must be that which is seen.
Okay. Must be through the eye sense.
Can I suggest you try closing your eyes and pass your hand across like that? Turn towards the sunshine and do it. Can still know darkness and light with the eyes closed.
Sometimes there is a mixing up, because when close the eyes, people argue that they still see things, but it is just imagination, I think.
If you're in a dark room with your eyes closed and someone turns the light on, you would know
how would you know?
I don't know, but if I were in the dark room and I was sleeping, for example, and someone turned on the light, I woke up immediately.
Why would you wake up?
Would have to be because of...
Not the sound, but...
Not the sound.
I think because of the light.
The light, yes. So?
You're sleeping with your eyes closed?
Yes.
So why would turning on the light wake you up?
I don't know. Yet.
Yeah, must be...
Seeing when the eye closed. Because otherwise you would not know that someone turned on the light. So when eyes close, we can still see. Yeah, you can.
They're still be seeing.
It's easily explained because the eyelid is not so dense that light cannot penetrate.
No, the shapes and forms and colours can't be made out. Still, there is visible objects seen at those moments. I have a question for Nana. Nana, so they're seeing, right?
Yes.
And then when your eyes are closed, why do you open them? When you wake up in the morning, why do you open your eyes?
Because want to see.
Want to see. And what is the wanting that wants to see?
Kanda.
So what is there when there is wanting to see? What kind of dhammas? Attachment and chanda, attachment and interest to, so like when we had this experiment and then open it because one cannot bear to keep it closed because of interest to see immediately with attachment, right?
Right.
So as soon as one wakes in the morning, there's interest to see and attachment to seeing. This is why we talk a lot about seeing.
So that moment, even that is not know what is the object, right?
No thought about the object, but just attachment and interest to see immediately, not interest and attachment to taste or to smell instantly, but attachment and interest to see as soon as one wakes up.
So can we say that the is more loba in for seeing than the other hearing or tasting, right? Is it possible to say that?
Because like now there's no tasting, so no opportunity for loba for tasting, but loba for seeing immediately,
yeah.
All the time, all day.
Then hearing.
And then hearing, yeah.
Without citta, can the eye open?
I don't know.
Without citta, no citta at all, can the eye open?
Yes.
Yes.
Forever. What sees? Is it eye sense? Does eye sense see?
Yes.
Are you sure? Then if eye sense sees, what does seeing do?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so seeing is citta, it's eye consciousness. But eye sense, which is where the seeing arises, it doesn't experience anything, it doesn't know anything, it's rupa. So it's only seeing which experiences. Citta experiences. Eye sense is not citta, it doesn't experience anything. So eye sense cannot give the order to open eyes. Only citta can. So if there's no intention now to, if your eyes are closed, if you close your eyes and then you decide to open your eyes, it's not because eye sense gives the order, it's because citta does, thinking does. Thinking with intention
to open the eyes. I want to come back about the seeing when we close the eyes, and then what about with the blind people, when, you know, just their eyes are damaged, but then, you know, it is not the whole sense, then is there any seeing with them?
It depends if it's like congenitally blind from birth and no eye sense, no visible object impinges, there cannot be any seeing at all. But often when people are called blind, it's like 90 or 95% blind. So it's like when one has one's eyes closed, there's still seeing a visible object, but the shapes and colors cannot be determined clearly, because it's like a screen, or like when we have our eyes closed but still seeing a visible object. So it depends whether visible object can impinge on eye sense or not.
So it's about the person who can be enlightened in that life, but must be born with, you know, all the whole senses. Then to those who just have their damaged eyes or one of the sense during their life, they can still be, or just be, or just to the people who were born with without one of the sense, just cannot be enlightened.
Let's just talk about those who are become blind during life, for example, but still other rupas appearing, sound, taste, hardness, can be known. So still other rupas can appear.
It would be unlikely that if you were at birth at Patisandhi, if you had rebirth and there was no eye sense, it would seem to me that you wouldn't be able to be enlightened, but I'm only imagining. I would think it would not be possible, but Ajahn might be able to say something.
I said, let's not talk about those who are blind from birth, is because sometimes those who have deformities from birth, I don't mean while being born in a conventional sense, but from the first moment of life, from the first moment of conception, is because of having no roots, no wholesome roots. So in that case, not possible to become enlightened.
What is blindness? What is blind?
What is physical? Are you talking, what one are you talking about?
We talk about blindness. What is it?
Not able to see.
Why?
Not able to see because there is no eye sense.
Because no eye sense. So, whenever there is eye sense, there can be seeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when there's no eye sense at all, there cannot be seeing, but there can be thinking. So it's quite very difficult. Only Panya, which understand the path, can tell whether that moment is the real one or the imaginary one. For example, even right now, there can be the hearing something which is not from the seas, but it happened without understanding. Just exactly like real one, but one knows how come to be such which is not real. So there must be a reason for everything. Like now there is seeing because of there is eye sense. And there can be moment of dreaming without seeing, even there is eye sense. But one knows the difference. But there are many conditions for anything to arise, almost exactly the same. But Panya can understand it. It's not the same. It comes from wrong practice, or imaginary, or what? because it's not as natural. Is that possible?
In the development of samatha, it's one subject, it's the skeleton.
I don't like to use the samatha word at all, because samatha must be the right one. Yes. It has to be wholesome. It's not just any kind of concentration, it's yes. Samatha.
Yes, but just related to this subject of seeing. So the subject of skeleton, right, this is one of the subject of samatha. Right? Skeleton. So, like we, actually, when we look at the people, we cannot see the skeleton. But for the people who, of course, we talk about the right kind of samatha, like in the sutta we read about the monk who is just so skillful in his contemplation of that even when he sees a woman, is the image of the skeleton appears. So that means that in that case, it's just the imagination, or it's does it have anything related to the actual seeing?
Object of samatha, the red one, is nimitta.
And concept, but well, that means that maybe he had seen the skeleton as the cemetery before, and like if it's something that hasn't been seen before, we cannot make a mental image of it.
Anyone like to see a skeleton? Yeah. So why it is subject or object of developing samatha?
Because it can condition detachment to the body.
Because the citta occupied on such thing, not thinking about the other thing. But it is nimitta.
Okay. Yes, at that moment it's nimitta, but before, how comes?
But many people think that they have skeleton as the object without any understanding, but that person take it for samatha bhavana.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's wrong. So there are so many conditions for everything to arise to be right or wrong, only with understanding. It does mean that anyone who imagine or think that there is seeing moment of skeleton, it can be thinking about that, and it seems like seeing, but it's not samatha.
Only when it's with detachment and understanding.
That with lights too, because one sees lights and then closes one's eyes and it seems that one can still see lights, just like it seems you can see a skeleton when you close the eyes, but usually with ignorance and attachment.
Was there something wrong when you meditate? Was there anything wrong when you meditate?
When I meditate?
I thought that you had meditated.
No.
Not at all?
Yeah, I did.
When you were meditating.
When I were.
The time when you meditated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was there something wrong? Do you mean in my experience, or what is wrong about meditation?
So, like when following it, in your experience, what is wrong about the practice and understanding?
Yes, I think certainly, because meditation, we are told to take an object or different objects and
follow them. So even though after some time you are very skilled in taking that object, but it's with attachment.
What do you mean by very skilled?
Skillful in the sense that object appears naturally, but because it is with attachment. So is it actually...
So it's not the real one?
Yes, yes.
It can be like something looks like the real one, but it's not the real one.
Yes. Like when they teach about tangible objects, like hardness and softness, and you think that you experience hardness or softness, but it's hardness of something or softness of something, or something, the pressure of something. So it's not the understanding of the reality. And it's just the stories of hardness or softness. And you think that you know, you experience hardness and softness, but actually it's not. And at the beginning, you start off with attachment, then it becomes so habitual. It's dangerous.
Looks exactly like real one, but it's not.
What one? Real hardness or real one? Anything.
It's like taking the conventional world as a real world, right?
Everyone takes a conventional world for the real one, but I think when people follow meditation practices, it's worse than that because it's really pursuing the wrong understanding and the practice with the idea that the more one follows it, the better, because it's the idea that it's a way to, that leads to having more understanding or enlightenment.
More dangerous because more wrong view.
Like many people, when they practice meditation, they believe that they have experienced the arising and falling away of realities. But even Dhamma is not clearly understood, even intellectually. So it's a very, very big trap.
Because they think they have already attained various vipassana jnanas, and some think they have become enlightened, so then it's very difficult for them to hear anything about the truth about dharmas, because they think they know it all already.
Sometimes we remember in words, and sometimes we remember in images. What is the actual process? Like, from the... So this, they all are mental images. So one is the mental image of the visible object, and the other is the mental image of the sound, right? I'm just wondering whether one leads to the other, or just by condition that sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. Just by condition.
Even when reading this word, the seeing of visible object, that there has to be thinking of sound as well, what is wrong. So there has to be the thinking about the sound as well. So many different kinds of images and impressions, and according to what has been seen and heard in the past.
Just a question about the translation of the Sikicha. It's usually translated as doubt, right? But when moha, when there's only moha without loba or dosa, and there was really no sense of doubt there. So, I mean, the real meaning of the Sikicha, I cannot really equate to doubt.
It's now.
Yeah, okay.
Vitigita is now. This moment.
It could be just Uddhacha only, right?
At moment of speaking, that is Vitigita.
Now, wondering, not being sure, that moment is Vitigita, doesn't mean it arises whenever Lobha or Dosa arises.
Right.
But right now, not knowing, not being sure, Vitigita.
Yes, this one I could understand. Not knowing, not sure, that's Vitigita. But even when some moment you are so sure, just purely moha is Vitigita, it does not really have the action of doubting, right? I mean, it looks apparent now, just a moment ago, it looks apparent there was doubt, there was Vitigita, because there was a, it looks like a not sure, wanting to know. But even at the moment of moha, just with Vitigita, is this apparent? No.
Are you sure now that seeing is not self and it's not rupa?
Well, I have the confidence.
That is Vitigita, yeah. At that very moment.
With confidence.
Before that.
Mm-hmm.
Example, because of course it can be very slight Vitigita with moha, like it can be very slight attachment or ignorance after seeing completely unknown, so it doesn't mean that it's usually apparent at all.
So almost when they, okay.
There's no awareness at all of moha.
Right. So even when we don't talk about is there seeing now, or just usual daily life, Vitigita is common, or Uddhacha is always there, basically. But Vitigita, even for people who don't discuss or consider Dhamma, also a lot of Vitigita, just because no understanding there.
It depends on conditions. For those who haven't heard about Vitigita, they have moments of attachment and aversion.
Yes.
No time to think or have Vitigita about whatever appears, because no hearing about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like Ditti, if someone has never heard about the teachings and has no interest at all in studying the truth of life, then not much Ditti is going to arise, like small children. So maybe similar. No thinking about the truth of life at this moment, then no conditions to have doubt about it.
But usually as adult, I think people are bound to or inclined to have some kinds of views about things. It can be like believing in an internal self or a life, an eternal, a soul that passed from one life to another, or it believing that there's nothing after this life. I think as adult, usually we are bound to develop some kinds of view. So I have a question about different terms. You know that for Panya, there's different terms used in different contexts, like Dhamma Vichaya and Vimamsa, and Panya, Jnana, and so many others. Is there any particular reason why they are given different terms at those different contexts, or?
According to the nature of realities itself.
Yeah.
For example, now there is the understanding of the world about reality. Citta, see, that which experiences. No one have doubt about that, about the meaning of the word, but the characteristic which is the self, which now sees, is the real one. With it, there is doubt about it, or clear. So, different level of panya hearing more, understanding more and more, less and less doubt. And when it's time to experience directly, it's there. No one can stop anything to arise when it's right time. Before that, there is doubt. What is the difference between Vipassanayana and now? What is different, the moment without awareness and the moment with awareness? But if
The object appears well.
Yeah, but does it appear well now?
No.
See, it depends upon which understand better and better to understand the moment when it's different from just hearing about reality. That's why there are so many levels of Vipassanayana. Different name because of different level.
So Vimamsa, what level is that?
The name? When it's not there.
So when Vimamsa
when
is achieved.
We talk about Vimamsa on what subject?
On Adipati.
See?
Yeah.
So it just the moment when at that very moment that is Adipati.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it has a different aspect, let's say.
Well, it's not that yet. Viriya can be adipati.
Okay. Okay.
Trying, developing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you talk about the seven factors of enlightenment, they use the word Dhamma Vichaya. So it's different levels again.
Pochanka. Dhamma Vichaya Sampochanka before enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Pali word is like our ordinary life.
Yeah.
So the word for Panya can be from very little, any level.
Samaditi, referring to the Panya of the path. Panya can be any kind of, also in development of samatha.
Moment of understanding will lead to the path. So samadhi all the way until it is samadhi of the Eightfold Path.
What you said before, for someone who maybe believes in eternal life or automatic rebirth in heaven or something like this. Like my mother before she died, she just knew she was going to heaven and that was that. No thinking or doubt about it, just a strong idea and that was it. So it doesn't mean because someone has some wrong view that there must be a lot of doubt about it. They don't think about it. Like here we think a lot, so maybe conditions for many moments of doubt. But if someone just has some idea but they don't think about it or question it, then maybe no conditions for much doubt. So like I never heard her have any doubt about her idea at all. Jnana, it's Panya, but usually we don't talk about Jnana now, usually referring to Vipassana Jnana or Satcha Jnana.
What about Jnana Sampayutta of the, Abhidhammata Sankaha?
Right now?
I just think there can be so many different types, and some of them are quite insidious. Like I was just thinking about what you were saying there before, like some people believe that you believe in Jesus and you're saved, or, different types of what they call fixed, firm, false beliefs, eternalism or, it's very difficult. Sometimes some people are just so locked into a certain view that nothing you can do. Just thinking of John, a question. are different types of panya. Nothing's really jumping to mind at the moment. I just think that the practice can be very subtle. Talking about what you were saying before, you know, when I was doing vipassana, when I was in India once, I was thinking of what you were talking, because they talk a lot about sweeping the body, you know, and I see now that it's such a naive and very simplistic view. And the more you get caught up with that, the more it's done, the more you do it, the more you do it. And your cognitive map, I use that word this morning, your cognitive map becomes so skewed that it becomes the habit, becomes the way. And unless there are the conditions to meet a wise person, a truly wise person, and that happened in the Buddha's time also, people who believed in something, like Sariputta did with his teacher, but then he heard something else. And there are many examples of that in the Tripitaka, of people being, because of previous accumulations, obviously, being able to hear something that really helps them to reevaluate what they've heard in the past. Because, as we know, we've all got accumulations for wrong, well, I know I have, for wrong view and wrong practices. Because the Dhamma is so subtle and so refined, to begin to appreciate that is, it's no easy matter. It's difficult.
For everyone, the teachings, just for those who have accumulated understanding.